Our Bible reading this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting at verse 1. It can be found on page 129 of the Church Bible. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said,
'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.'
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.
Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day.
Honour your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
You shall not commit murder.
You shall not commit adultery.
You shall not steal.
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour.
You shall not covet your neighbour's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbour's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour.
These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain, from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leaders of your tribes and your elders came to me, and you said,
'The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a person can live even if God speaks with them. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey.'
The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Go, tell them to return to their tents. But you stay here with me, so that I may give you all the commands, decrees, and laws you are to teach them to follow in the land I am giving them to possess.
So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you.
Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess.
Thanks, Paul and Megan. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good? Excellent. Well, I haven't been to many air shows. I can't remember being to any. But I've been to the Olympic Stadium. I've been to the Olympic Stadium when a fighter jet has come and flown low overhead, real low. And the sight and the noise was quite awesome, being so close and so loud. But that is nothing. That pales into insignificance compared to what we have before us this morning. To have been there at Mount Sinai, at Horeb, when the Ten Commandments were given, that would have been truly awesome. So we're in Deuteronomy 5, and it would help to have it open. So hopefully you still do. And hopefully it's your Bible that you've been reading during the week. I want to give a sense of the significance of this day of hearing and receiving the Ten Commandments. I want to look at the commands which are around these Ten Commandments. I will then make comment on the Ten Commandments before considering Christ and us today. So first, on top of the mountain, sense the significance of this day. It's been quite a year. That is an understatement. It's been the biggest year of your life. Just 3 months ago, you were slaves in Egypt. But today, you stand as one people at the foot of Mount Sinai. Just 3 months ago, you crossed the Red Sea. The Red Sea, it parted so that you could walk along in the Red Sea. That is not normal. God, the Lord your God, miraculously saved you. And now, there is a thick, dark cloud hovering over the mountain. There's booming thunder, there's cracking lightning, and you stand terrified. You then see smoke. There's smoke because there's a fire. It starts to billow up like a smoke from a massive furnace. But the furnace is the mountain. And the whole mountain trembles violently. The sounds, the smells, the sight is just awesome. The Lord God, He has descended to the top of the mountain. And you are terrified. And then the Lord God speaks. That's right, the creator of not just this mountain, but the whole world, He speaks and you hear His voice. He speaks what has become known as the Ten Commandments. So much more than just words on a page or words on a stone tablet. Now, before we make comment on the Ten Commandments, let's note the commands around the commands. For although there are Ten Commandments here, there are also other commands that are given. Remember, you're now 40 years after the day that they were originally given. This is a retelling of the law for the people about to go in and take the land. So in verse 1, have a look there. Moses says, "Hear, learn, follow." Verse 1, Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today, learn them and be sure to follow them. Hear, learn, follow. That's what he wants them to do. But see what God wants them to do. Come down to verse 29. See what God says to Moses, what he wants for the people. Verse 29. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it may go well with them and their children forever. So Moses calls them to hear. God wants them to fear. Hearts that fear him. Hearts that keep all his commands so that it might go well for them in the land and for their children. And then one more in verse 32. Hear, fear. I don't really have a word that rhymes. Abir, obey. Hear, fear, abir, obey. Walk in the way of the Lord. Verse 32. What they finished on together as it was read. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. These are the commands here that are given around the commands. Hear, fear, obey. God's people are to fear him. They are to fear God walking in all his ways. That's what God wants for his people. And if they do, since there are a few times, life will be good. Just like in your home, if there's a healthy relationship between parents and children, the children respecting their mum and dad and listening to them and doing what they say, then life will probably be pretty good in your home, especially when you want what is best for the kids. Now, the kids mightn't always agree that that is best, but you're wise, you know what is best for them, and if they're listening, obeying, then life is going to be good in your home. Well, let's have a look at the Ten Commandments. You could say it functions as a summary of all the law, because there's plenty more law to come in Deuteronomy, just like when the law was first given in Exodus. But here it is in 10 statements. Maybe it's reduced to 10 so that they could easily remember them. One command per finger. I don't know. It's worth noting, though, that the first words of the 10 commandments are not a commandment at all. But it tells us of God, of who he is, and what he has done. Have a look at verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So very important to realize this and to see that the commandments are not given so that they gain salvation. All right? God has already saved them. He's already brought them out of Egypt. He's opened up the Red Sea. He's enabled them to leave that land. He's about to give them another land. And this is how they are to live in that land, as a result of who God is and what God has done for them. So let's just pause there for a moment, because many people today believe that you need to obey God's law to get salvation. If God is going to accept you, then you've got to be good. You've got to do the right things. A lot of people, that is their understanding. It goes like this. I obey, therefore I'm accepted. Or I am good, therefore God will accept me. That's religion. That's not the gospel. The gospel says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. All right, see the difference? That's what we have here. They are God's people. God has saved them. And then this is how they are to live as his people. As Christians today, we are to fear God. We are to walk in his ways. But as people who have been saved, we belong to Christ. His mercy upon us means that we are his, and so we are now to live like Christ. That's jumping ahead, so we'll come back to that. All right, I'm not going to work through every single command, you might be happy to know. Just going to highlight a few things. God wants our hearts to fear him. And I think we see that in the first few commands, where we are to worship him and him alone. I think that fills out a little bit what it means to fear him, is to worship him and him alone. It's a total allegiance to him. So commandment number one, worship no other god. Now, verse 7, you shall have no other gods before me. And that means no visual representations. Commandment number 2, no idols, no images. They are not to make an image of God and worship that image. That is no. You could say that the only image of God is to be them. If they obey these commands, then they will be an image of God to the nations. And there are to be no verbal representations of his name either. Commandment number 3, do not misuse the name of the Lord. No profanity, no blasphemy, using his name in vain. And maybe too, they aren't to claim Yahweh as their Lord and then live as they belong to Baal. That would be totally inconsistent. I read an interesting take on the Ten Commandments during the week, saying that they're like a bill of rights. So you've got the divine rights. God, he has the right to exclusive allegiance and the right to proper representation, visually, verbally, as we've just said. And then you've got the human rights, the right not to work 7 days a week, a parent's right to be honoured and respected, the right to life, the right to faithfulness in marriage, the right to one's own property, the right to truth in testimony, the right to what belongs to you. That's a very positive spin on it all. But a Bill of Rights is all about me and my rights. Whereas this is more, the Ten Commandments are more about the other person. It's about God and the other person. Because if I break these commands, then I'm acting against God and I'm acting against someone else. Alan spoke last week of parents' responsibility of teaching God's way in the home, teaching the gospel to the next generation. Now, right at the moment, there's many people doing a great job teaching the kids. But it's not their job to be raising the children in the ways of the Lord. They do a great job, and what's happening at the moment in kids' church is really important, but that's, 45 minutes a week. As parents, you are the main spiritual provider for your kids. The raising and teaching of your kids takes place primarily in the home. What's happening here at the moment, very important, but so important, what is happening right throughout the week in the home. Commandment number 5 says, our parents are to be honoured. Now, it's much easier, isn't it, to pass on God's ways when you have a willing audience, when you are being honoured and respected when you are being listened to. And that's what children are to do. And still, we looked at Mother's Day. We, who still have parents who are living, and even those who are not, we can honour our parents. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Now, more will be said about this in the law and just how serious God takes this. To commit adultery is not just to sin against your spouse, maybe someone else's as well, but God. And Jesus takes it even further, doesn't he? He says, just the thought of lusting after another woman, you commit adultery in your heart. Now, God loves faithfulness to him, exclusive allegiance to him, but also faithfulness in marriage. It takes both people in the marriage to keep it strong. Commandment number 10, you shall not covet. To covet is not to be satisfied with what you have. To not be satisfied with what God has given you. So in that sense, it's a failure to love God. Now, Western society as a whole has chosen mammon, money, over God, and has declared that a person's life does consist in the abundance of their possessions. He with the most toys wins. But when society consistently abandons the first and the tenth commandment, the moral vacuum that results from the loss of all the other commandments in between soon follows. When the first and the tenth, when they fall, everything else just goes in between. And then you see the society that we have as a result. All right, what's the message here? To hear, to fear, to obey. God calls for total allegiance to him. He is God. He has saved us, called his people into relationship with him. He sets out the best way to live. And he calls people to live that life, which is the good life. A life with him as God and him setting out what life in the land is to look like. God's people are to fear him, to worship him and him alone, and to walk in all his ways. Now, maybe some people today, are happy to take the second half of the commandments. Happy to take, honour your parents, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't murder, don't lie. 5 to 9. I reckon most people probably pretty happy to take those. And just imagine what society would be like if everyone did keep those 5 commandments. There wouldn't be much on the news, would there? If everyone obeyed those 5, what would we be watching on the news? Right? Society would be good. Society would be good, wouldn't it? Now, people probably agree, they're good things. But our news is full. Like, we fail miserably to keep these commandments. And unfortunately, many people think that Christianity is all about doing and keeping these things. I obey, I'm good, therefore I'm accepted. But that's religion. And we know in reality that people, they don't keep those 5 commandments anyway. So we must see these commandments in the context that they're given. We must remember that awesome day that they were given. That these are not just some good morals that God has given his people to live by. Right? These are the words of God given to the people that he has saved, that he has called to himself. He's about to give them the land, and this is how they are to live in the land, walking in obedience in his ways. In the Solomons, they love to sing. They don't have projectors. They don't have screens. They just sing and they just know the words. And it's just like it's an overflow of their heart, of their relationship with God and seeking to express that and live that. One song is all about walking in his ways. And it goes something like this. Join me if you know it, so that that'll help us all. Because there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. And they repeat that over and over and over. And then they go, walking here and there, searching here and there, turn around, follow him. There's no one like him. And they just keep going. And it's like they, I don't know, maybe they are making up words as they go, and then someone leads it. And it's just them talking about walking in his ways, and then in everything that they're doing during the week, and they just keep adding the lines, and they get into it, and they love it. And you pick it up pretty quick, and you can be singing words without a projector, and with not much of a band either. Final point, on top of the mountain. Let me ask, are the Ten Commandments for us? What do you reckon? Are the Ten Commandments for us? I would answer yes and no to that. Now, God still wants us, his people in Christ, to fear him, to worship him and him alone, and to walk in all his ways. Yes. And I don't think any of these commandments are not true for us today. But our context is a little bit different as well. God has revealed even more. On top of Mount Sinai, God revealed himself and his will to his people. But then, on top of another mountain in Galilee is Jesus. This is after the resurrection, and the disciples worship him. The disciples worship him. Now that is big, because only God is to be worshipped, and God alone. Jesus is worship. Now when the disciples worship him, do you think Jesus knows that? He knows he's being worshipped. Does he stop them? He doesn't stop them. Right? Jesus is God. He speaks to his disciples. He says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That is a lot of authority. God the Father has given his Son all authority in heaven and on earth. It's been given to Jesus. All right? Jesus is to be feared. Jesus is to be worshipped. And on top of that mountain, Jesus then gives a command. A command. Not ten. He gives a command. Make disciples. That's what Jesus calls his disciples to do. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's what Jesus commands. Go and make disciples. So do the Ten Commandments still apply? Yes, of course they do. They don't not apply. But as his people today who have been saved, we have this command from Jesus to make disciples and to teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded. Because Jesus said more and commanded more than just make disciples. So is this what we're doing? Is this command of Jesus important to you? Something that you live by? Are you involved in the making of disciples? Not in order to be accepted, but because you have been accepted. Because you are a disciple yourself. As a disciple, we are to go and make disciples. We who have come to believe in Jesus are to be part of what God continues to do in his world. This is what Jesus calls us to do. I'll stop from giving a new sermon on making disciples. But I'll say this. This is what we're about. This is what Jesus wants us to be about. Whether it's in your home, whether it's here in church, wherever it is in the world, Jesus calls us to be involved in making disciples. And we're not on our own. He's given us his Holy Spirit, and he's promised, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear, to fear, and to obey. Help us to worship you and you alone, to walk in all your ways and to make disciples. And thank you that you are with us. This is your work, and you invite us to be part of it as well. To join you in living your way and to share that with others. So teach us your ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.